assemble together, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Maybe you'll recall last week that we brought to a close that Lord's Day by talking about some things in which we need to put first in this new year. That was last Sunday evening. Last Sunday morning we talked about some Bible beginnings, or Bible ends rather, and there are several of those. Maybe you added to that list since then and you took your Bibles and went through and looked at some of those ends that you read about in the Bible. And a lot of that, in light of the fact that 2017 is gone and 2018 is now here, I thought it'd be appropriate to follow that lesson, Bible ends, up with a lesson on Bible beginnings. And there's a host of Bible beginnings that you can open your Bible and read about various things that began in the Word of God. And it does us good, not only at the beginning of a year, but throughout the year to think about those things. And so I want us to think about just a few of them this morning. Probably the most well-remembered or well-known, most well-quoted Bible beginning is found in Genesis chapter 1. I'm convinced that if I were writing these points on the board, that that would probably be what most would put at the beginning of the list. Because the sacred volume begins with a statement about a beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you're well familiar with. In fact, it was mentioned in the Bible class this morning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so that's the first beginning that I just want us to briefly talk about. We won't talk about it long because it was discussed in the Bible class, but let's think about that for just a moment. We know that we're not here by mere accident. That's something that we know for a fact. Amen. That we're not here by happenstance. That we just did not evolve to where we are. But as you think about that beginning that you read about in Genesis chapters 1 and Genesis chapter 2, not only did God create the heavens and the earth, there are other things that the Bible makes mention of that God created. For example, the Bible makes mention that He created all of the plants, right? Created the sun and the moon and the stars and the animals and the sea animals and the fowl that fly in the open firmament the Bible talks about. And on the sixth day, God created man. You read that again in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. But again, man fell. You read about that beginning in Genesis chapter 3. You read about the beginning of sin's entrance into the world. As the Bible begins in Genesis chapter 3 and then verse 1 by talking about the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And you read about that Bible beginning. And so the book of Genesis is filled with Bible beginnings. And it'd do us all good to go back and look at that in our study and an overview of the Old Testament. We talked about some of those things. But also in Matthew chapter 19, the Lord pointed those religious leaders of His day back to the beginning. You recall in Matthew chapter 19 that the Lord was questioned if it was lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause. Well, that's okay to ask that question. In fact, it needs to be asked today. We know that their motive was not always genuine, was not always a pure motive. But I want you to notice what the Lord said in verse 4. He answered and said unto them, have ye not read, now watch this, that he that made them at, what's that next word? He that made them at the beginning, takes them all the way back to the beginning, made them male and female. And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one. And so the Lord points them all the way back to the beginning of the creation, when God ordained these things and put these things in place. And so you see that in the beginning, the home was established. In John chapter 8, verse 44, we read that Satan had activity from the beginning. Remember in John 8 and in verse 44, what the Lord stated concerning Satan. He's talking again to religious leaders, and he said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." He was a murderer from when?
Beginning.
From the beginning. Because there, or and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Someone says, "Well, how did the devil commit murder?" Because Adam and Eve sinned and rebelled against God. And remember in the Bible that death is always spoken of as a separation. It's always a separation of something from something else. And so when man separated themselves from God as a result of their sin, that's spoken of as a death. Well, who tempted the devil? In fact, he's called the tempter in Matthew chapter 4. Remember the temptations of Jesus, the tempter? Talking about the devil. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. When you look at the book of 1 John chapter 3, another statement that is found concerning the devil. And the devil's been at it for a long time, right? 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, talking about the lust of the eye and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. That's the three avenues by which man is tempted, and it's always been that way since when? The beginning. Man was tempted along those lines. But in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now watch this. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was made known or manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You know, sin is a transgression of the law of God. You see that early on in verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of law. And so, from the beginning, you read those various things. In Hebrews chapter 1, and in verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundation of the earth, for the heavens are the works of thine hands. The Father created all things, did that through the instrumentality of the Word. You read that in Colossians chapter 1. That though the Father created those things, you read the means by which He did that. For by Him, when you look at that pronoun, you need to see who he's talking about. He's talking about the Son. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 18, he's the head of the body, the church. Who is he talking about in that passage? In John chapter 1, he talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so a lot of time could be spent on the creation. But there's another beginning I want us to think about, and it was read in our scripture reading this morning. We appreciate our brother for doing a good job in that scripture reading. But let's go back to that and look at Mark chapter 1. And notice verse 1. Mark opens up his account of the one gospel by saying the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The word gospel has been pointed out many times, simply means good news. And folks, there is no better news than the news that is found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because we're talking about salvation, of which we didn't deserve, we didn't earn, we certainly don't merit it. But God provides it through the sacrificial offering of His Son when we obey the gospel of Christ. Our sins are remitted, never to be remembered anymore. And we need to thank God for those things. And so Mark opens up his book along those lines, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first four verses. Good Bible definition of gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We know that there is only one faith The Bible points that out, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. There is no other gospel, according to what Paul would pen to those of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Someone says, well, it just simply involves the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. Well, I suggest to you that that's, in a nutshell, what it is. But that's simply not the all in all of it. Suppose you was going to have a Bible study with someone and you wanted them to come to the Lord. You wanted them to know what the Bible says about the Lord and you wanted them to obey the gospel of Christ. Would you simply tell them that Jesus was born, that He lived, that He died, was buried, and rose again, and that's it? Suppose they said, I want to be saved. In light of what the Lord had done, what do I need to do? Would you answer that? Don't miss that point. We know that that's the case because when you look at Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2, you see an example of that. As you're turning there, I want you to think about the conversion accounts. What was preached? Christ was preached to them. Did that have anything to do with the kingdom? Did it have anything to do with what they must do? From the very first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, you see that being preached. The reign and the lordship of Jesus, Acts 2 and then verse 36. That men must obey and respond by their obedience, Acts chapter 2 and then verse 40. That men and women did that, Acts 2 and then verse 41. That the Lord added them to the church, Acts 2 and then verse 47. Now in Galatians chapter 1, the Bible says that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed in the glorified God in me. Now, by man, these chapters and verses have been put in there for our benefit. But notice, if you will, chapter 2, verse 1. The thought continues, then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. You might want to underscore or circle preach the faith in Galatians 1 verse 23 and just draw you a little line on down to Galatians chapter 2 and then verse 2 and circle or underscore the gospel which I preach. Sometimes the words faith and gospel are synonymous with one another. You need to keep your eyes peeled for that. We've talked about at length in Acts chapter 8 when those that were scattered about the persecution of Stephen, that they went everywhere preaching the word, that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Then later on it expounds on that in the chapter and talks about what he preached. When they heard Philip preaching the things concerning Jesus, the name of Jesus, and the kingdom, they were baptized, both men and women. We need to mark that down and learn that point. And so you read about the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You also read about another beginning in Psalm 111 and in verse 10. Psalm 111 and in verse 10, the Bible says, you're familiar with this verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments, His praise endureth forever. In James chapter 1, the Bible talks about if any man lack wisdom, James 1:5, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a man or a wave and so forth that is tossed and driven. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. An unstable man or a waver man is unstable in all his ways. James chapter 1 verses 5 through 8. We know that wisdom is important. But I want to suggest to you also that the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, is also important. We see a lack of that in our world today. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Whether you're talking about a reverence toward God or you're talking about an individual who just fears and quakes at knowing the God of heaven and His might and His power and so forth. In Matthew 10:28, the Bible says, "Fear not them which are able to destroy the body, and then they have no power to do anything else. But I'll tell you, the Lord says, who you ought to fear, fear Him which is able, after He has destroyed the body, to destroy soul also in hell."
Amen.
You think the fear of the Lord is important?
Amen.
That was included in one of the conclusions that the wise man made in Ecclesiastes 12 and in verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What did he say? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. There's a little statement that is made. Two words that we might look over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 17. We might just be reading this and run right over top of it. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Watch this. Fear God. Honor the King. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing. Could you finish the rest of that? You don't have to out loud, but can you finish the rest of that? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I ask you this morning, what's your mentality toward wisdom and toward the beginning of wisdom, which the Bible identifies as being fear? Now, as you think about Bible beginnings at the beginning of a new year, in John chapter 2, there was a particular occasion associated around a marriage in Cana. Remember that? John chapter 2. Jesus was there, and mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. They ran out of wine on that occasion. They wanted wine. Verse 3, the mother of Jesus saith unto Him, they have no wine. You know the rest of the story, right? Jesus turned that water into wine. Let me caution you, by the way, on the word wine. Not always is it used to talk about an alcoholic beverage. There's nothing that's indicated in John chapter 2 to indicate that what Jesus did was to turn water into an alcoholic beverage that these people might drink and be drunken. Nothing in the context that would suggest that. Sometimes the word wine just simply means that which comes from the grape, when you make your study about that. Nevertheless, in verse 11 the Bible says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifest forth His glory. And His disciples believed on Him. See, it was prophesied way back in the book of Isaiah chapter 35 verses 5 and 6 that when the Messiah would come, He would work miracles. He'd be a miracle worker. Jesus worked miracles, and in doing that, He confirmed that He was the Son of God, confirmed the things that He was saying, the statements that He was making. Miracles were used to confirm the Word. We see that throughout the New Testament. In Acts chapter 2, it was talked about by Peter, how Jesus was approved to be the Son of God. Well, how was He approved to be the Son of God? Notice what he says. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. How was He approved of God among the people? Well, He gives us the answer. By miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And so Jesus worked miracles, and we read about the beginning of miracles, John chapter 2 and then verse 11. But the apostles also worked miracles. They also had the ability to do that. In Mark 16, and then verse 20, after Jesus had spoken to the apostles, the Bible says, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Then they who, the apostles," the context shows it was the apostles, "then they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them," that is with the apostles, "working with them and confirming the word with signs." Did you see that? Did you underscore that in your Bible? Notice that again. After he had been seated on the right hand of the Father, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs, following. It was just mentioned in our Bible class from John 20, verses 30 and 31. And the ending of the book of John, of the things that Jesus did. Those miracles that the apostles went forth to do was to for confirmation of the word. But the word's already been confirmed for us today by them. That means it's been made sure. Foundation's been there. It's been made sure. Folks, once you assure something, you don't have to reassure it. Come with me to the book of Hebrews before we move to the next point. But I want you to see this because you'll need it when you study with individuals, and people might want to talk about miracles. "Oh, I've seen miracles," or "so-and-so can work miracles." "Don't you believe in miracles?" they might ask you. Well, yeah, we believe that miracles took place, just as they said they took place in the Bible. They were used for confirming the word, and once it was confirmed, we no longer need those miracles and signs and wonders. Notice Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord?" Now watch this. He's talking about the word, the salvation that was spoken and was confirmed unto us. You got that underscored in your Bible? "Confirmed unto us by them that heard him." Now, I wasn't there, and neither was you, and we didn't hear him in the flesh, but they were eyewitnesses, right? Acts chapter 1 talks about that. "God also bearing them witness." Well, how did he bear them, those that heard him? How did they bear them witness? Well, watch. "Both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." That's how he bore witness. They spoke it, confirming it by those miracles. It has been confirmed. Needs no more confirming today. In the first century, it was in the men. Today, it's in the book, and we need to open it up and read it, believe it, and obey it. But you have that Bible beginning. I want to share another one with you, and this comes from Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, the Bible says in verse 47. Let's go back to verse 46. "Jesus said unto them, Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Watch for our next point, verse 47. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations." What's that next word? "Beginning at Jerusalem." You're familiar with the events that took place on that occasion. In Acts chapter 1, the Lord had told them to not depart from the city of Jerusalem, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem. It's also stated here in Luke chapter 24 and then verse 49. "After the Lord went back to heaven," the Bible says, "that they returned to Jerusalem about Sabbath day's journey. And they stayed there till they received power from on high, just like the Lord had instructed them. Then in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit fell upon the apostles. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When you see that word tongues, that means languages. Peter stood up and delivered the first gospel sermon. Right? Acts chapter 2. What did he proclaim? Repentance and remission of sins in the name of Jesus. Through him. Just like the Lord talked about, was prophesied. That it would begin where? In the city of Jerusalem. How do I know that's what he preached? Because when they asked, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Repentance and remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And so you read about that in Acts chapter 2. You read about the beginning of the Lord's church, right? In Acts chapter 2. And then verse 47. From that point on, the Lord's church is always spoken of as being present. Not in the future yet to come, but present throughout the New Testament. So when folks ask you, what must I do to be saved? You might want to take them back to the beginning, to the first gospel sermon. By the way, you know that that's referred to as a beginning, right? Not only beginning at Jerusalem in the sense of that's where it began, but it's also spoken of as a beginning when you read Acts chapter 10 and chapter 11. When you read in that passage about Cornelius and the Gentiles and how that Peter was sent for, and Peter came to the household of Cornelius and he preached Christ unto them. And they obeyed it. But I want to call your attention to what Peter stated in Acts 12 and then verse 15. As you think about beginnings. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Now watch this. As on us at the beginning. Peter refers to the events of Acts chapter 2 as the beginning. Yes, there's various beginnings you can read about, but you need to mark that down and think about that. Bible beginnings, there are several that you can think about. You can add to the list as you think about this new year. I want to share with you that if you're not a Christian, you can begin this new year with a new beginning.
Amen.
Being a child of God. The Bible talks about a new man, doesn't it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things become new. The only way that I can be a new creature is if I am in Christ, where salvation is. 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. The only way that I can be in Christ is to go from being out of Christ into Christ, and that comes by obeying the gospel. Through hearing it, Romans 10, 17, believing it, Mark 16, 16, repenting of our sins, Luke 13, 3, confessing our faith in Christ, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, and being baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2, 30, eight, being then in Christ. Not before then, but after then. When we've been baptized. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. For by one Spirit have we all been baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and then verse 13. You have an opportunity to do that. Week after week. We talk about opportunities. I told you last week, I don't know if the Lord will give us another opportunity, if He'll let another year continue or come. But here we are. By His long suffering, His mercy and compassion, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, in verse 9. If you're not a Christian, why spurn the invitation? Why say no? Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away and you want to be restored. Repent of those things. Make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.